Welcome as you join us from the Christian Revival Church, Rockingham.
So I've been given the privilege this morning of speaking to you. So the title of my sermon, which I did not know, was Holy Spirit Fire, came to me this morning. However, I've got a question to ask you. Do we have any music in the background, like a piano, perhaps? If the Holy Spirit was taken out of your life, would there be any difference to how you act? Would there be any difference? Would people around you notice that something different has happened in you? If Holy Spirit was taken out of your life, if He left, if He just left, and if you say, no, you know what? I don't know. What is Holy Spirit doing in my life? Good question. We're going to speak about it this morning. But I think that was a question I was asked when I was younger, and it's such an important question to ask, is what impact does God have in my life? Does everything I do come from my intimate time or my time with God and my understanding of His Word and my relationship with Him, or is it all based on what I think I should do today, how I feel? Pastor Clive once said, if you're in a dating relationship and you do everything that you think feels good, you'll end up with a baby. And that's usually true. If you do what you think or it feels good, which is emotion, which is like endorphins and all the rest, nothing's going to change. So you may be thinking, I don't feel Holy Spirit this morning, but He is with you. You will know it's a notable difference. There are marks that you bear when the Holy Spirit is upon you. So who's got their Bibles with them this morning? All right, if you will turn with me to 1 Samuel 10, verse 6. I'll let everyone get to that scripture. So I'll give you context. This is just about the time when Samuel is leading Israel. And the people say, we want a king. We want a king. We don't want you to lead us anymore. We want a king. So it says, 10 verse 6, Samuel is now speaking to Saul, the then Saul, soon to be King Saul. Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. And I'll read verse 7. And let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. God is with you. So when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you become another man or another woman. You become something different or someone different. It goes on that when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Paul or Saul, people see him prophesying with the prophets and they say, is he also one of the prophets? For we know his father is like a donkey herder. It's so amazing when God's Spirit comes upon you, it changes everything about your life. Every dimension when Holy Spirit comes in your life, you are different. People will notice something different about you. People must see a notable difference upon you. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
If Holy Spirit is upon you, you will be different. You will be bold. You will not accept what someone says as a fact if it's actually their feelings. You will know what God has told, what God has written in His Word. And if you don't know the Word, how can you understand what God is speaking to you in this moment? I don't understand how Holy Spirit can speak to me if I'm not reading the Scripture. Because God never says something that's not already written in His Word. He just reveals things to us through His Word. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So, if you will turn with me to Luke 4, verse 18 to 19. Here we go. Is everyone there? Well, we've got it on the screen behind me. But Luke 4, verse 18. This is Jesus when He walks into the temple, or the synagogue, actually, and He comes to speak. Verse 17 says, and He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written. It means He was looking for it. Jesus was looking for this particular scripture, and we will read it now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. So let's break that scripture down. First of all, the part that I did not give to Rebecca, my apologies. Jesus was given the book of Isaiah and he found the scripture he was looking for. He was looking for something in specific for that moment to speak to the people. So the same comes for us. The weapon that we have is the word of God. That's our weapon. Not the word of Stephen or the word of James, the word of the Bible. The devil has to respond to that. When I speak the scripture, he has to move because that's God's word. And who knows that God's word in my mouth is as powerful as his word in his mouth. Because he has given us his word as a weapon, it says in the book of Ephesians. The only weapon we have, which is the sword of the Spirit, is the word of God. So if I break this down, Jesus says the Spirit of the Lord is upon who? Me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus, but Jesus is God. He's saying, I am anointed with the Spirit of the Lord. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Why to the poor? Why to poor people? Why not the rich? Because rich people think they've got everything good. They've got everything good. Spiritually poor people understand they're broken. And poor people understand when they have nothing. We all know what it feels like to have little, but I'm not sure how many people here have gone weeks without food. But when you are poor, it changes your perspective. You start to look at the world differently. You start to think, oh, the world is like this. No one thinks about me. No one cares about me. But the gospel means good news. Amen? Good news. Say good news.
Good news.
Good news. The gospel is good news. It's a good news. He's saying, I am here to preach the good news to you. I'm here to tell you the good news. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. If you have a broken heart this morning, Jesus is here to speak to that broken heart. And he wants to bring healing. To proclaim liberty to the captives. He walks in, he says, if you have addiction, if you have bondage, I'm proclaiming liberty to you this morning. Amen. And as I stand here, I speak liberty. I speak, you are free. Because God says it, not me. God says, you are free. And recovery of sight to the blind. Physically blind and spiritually blind. Because if you are blind, you cannot see where you are going. Spiritually, if you are blind, you will keep running until you hit a wall. Or if a cliff. Or whatever, and we've all done that. We've all been blind there, and we've all run into places we shouldn't have. And God was like, see, I told you, if you listen to me, you close your eyes on purpose. Because there's a difference between being blind and closing my eyes. If I close my eyes and run at a wall, that's my fault. Because I close my eyes. But if I am blind, I can't see what's in front of me. So Jesus gives us that sight. He gives us the ability to see. That's the Holy Spirit working through us, giving us the ability to see. Wait a minute. It is written in the word, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't be doing this. So I need to stop. Because otherwise, then I'm a blind person and God's looking at me saying, well, I gave you sight, but you chose blindness. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Who's ever felt oppressed before? Spiritual oppression. Physically oppressed. Bullied, maybe. When the devil walks into your room, you feel oppressed. He wants to put a pressure on you, but who knows that's the best he can do. All he can do is put pressure on. He cannot actually do anything. Because he has no teeth. He has no teeth left. God has broken his teeth. When Jesus died on the cross and rose again, he took the power of death. Jesus holds the keys. So we have access to that. We do not have to worry anymore. Okay, the devil's like, I'm going to kill you. Like, no, you're not. You don't have the power. You don't have the authority. And if it is my time to go, then the Lord will take me. But I have not yet accomplished my mission. And that's what you've got to look at in life. Have I accomplished the mission God has called me to do? No. Then it's time for me to step it up. Am I on the correct path? Am I walking the way the Spirit of God is leading me? Or am I taking a detour every 3 or 4 days because I don't feel like God's plan is working? I need to do it my way. So it's time we've got to stick it out. We've got to say, okay, Lord, I know you've called me to do something. It's not accelerating at the pace I want it to, because sometimes it doesn't work the way you want it to. But I'm willing to accept, listen, and wait on you for you to show me the direction. If he's shown you a direction and he said, walk, he said, walk, don't run. But if he said, run in this direction, he said, run, don't walk, don't crawl. If he said, stand still, he means stand still. Who knows that? When God is speaking, sometimes you're like, man, I want to run. And God's like, just hang on a minute, just walk. You know, and you run and you don't realize there's actually a car coming across the road that you're about to cross. But you ran in front of it rather than walking because you couldn't see it coming. Because it's around a blind corner. Who's getting something from this morning? God is speaking to you. He's saying, hang on a minute. Don't run. Walk. Hang on. Stand still. There's something I need to tell you. There's someone that you are going to meet, but you need to stand still for. If you don't stand still, you're going to miss the opportunity. You're going to miss the divine connection I'm sending your way. Maybe you need to speak to someone and share the gospel. Maybe someone has an opportunity for you for business. But because you didn't listen to God, you just ran the opposite direction. God's like, you're praying for finances, you're praying for opportunity, but you didn't wait when I sent you somewhere because you looked at the situation and said, there's no way God's going to work here. There's no way this is the word of God. The only one that ever says that is the devil. Did God really say? So if you believe God's speaking to you and it aligns with the word, when someone comes to you and says, did God really say? It never says that in the Bible except for when Satan's talking to Eve. Does that make sense? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, obviously, sometimes we'll say, okay, did you read that in the Bible? No. Like, if someone comes and says, man, I can have two wives, I'm like, hang on a minute. Or I believe that I can turn into a hippopotamus. Like, that's obviously not in the Bible. So, no, God's not talking to you. It's probably the pizza you ate last night or something like that. So, you need to understand, when you read this word, and God speaks to you, and he says, I have called you to be a minister. I have called you to be a businessman. I have called you to be a school teacher. That doesn't mean suddenly look at the next person and go, but God's moving better in their life than mine. Because he's not. He's moving in their life according to his plan in their life or the level they have surrendered and obeyed God. Yeah. Many times we look at people and say, Lord, why are you working in them? God's like, because they obeyed me. Because that person sacrificed. That person was on their face 4 or 5 hours a day crying out to me saying, Lord, I don't have a direction. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I need your help. And God's like, okay, I'll bless this person. Yeah. And we rock up. We're like, Lord, why are you blessing them? And God's like, well, hang on. It's not your time. You don't know what that person sacrificed. Because I remember someone speaking to me about that once because I was like, I really want God to move in my life. Why is everyone else getting touched and not me? No idea what that was. Happens once a week. And my leader said to me, he said, you have no idea what that person's been sacrificing. You have no idea what they're going through. We don't always know what everyone else is going through. So sometimes God wants to touch someone in a certain way because of what they are going through. If I am sad and depressed, I don't necessarily need peace. I need joy. Right? God does not give you the wrong thing in the wrong moment. Like if I go and I'm going to have breakfast, I don't need ice cream for breakfast. I mean, if you do, that's pretty interesting. But I don't go and eat ice cream for breakfast. I go and eat what I need for breakfast, right? Because I've chosen that. God's saying, why are you eating ice cream at breakfast? You want the cherry on top. You just want cherry. But God's like, no, there's something else. You need the word. You need the meat of the word. You need something. There's a situation you're going through. Someone's going through something right now. You're saying, why? And God's saying, it's because you are going to grow through this situation. Never let yourself go through a situation and learn nothing. Never go through anything and learn nothing. That's what I have purposed in my heart. I will not go through any situation and learn nothing. Spiritually and physically. So like I've had injuries because I want to play sports for God. I've had injuries and I've gone, this sucks. When I was younger, I used to just say, Lord, take it away. I've had enough of it. Whereas now I'm like, okay, things are going wrong. I'm going to pray and believe, but I'm also going to go and do the research as to why things like this happen. Yeah. Why does an injury like this occur? Well, you're not stretching. Okay. Simple. Easy fix, right? I don't need to go and fast and pray for 3 weeks for God to heal me for not stretching. He needs to heal my stubbornness to stop me from being lazy. It's like, oh, it's 15 minutes of stretching. No, it's 15 minutes that you're preparing for something else. If I eat ice cream all day, every day, I cannot grow. I can't grow. Imagine feeding your kids ice cream the whole time. They'll have no teeth and they'll get overweight and they'll have no muscle because there's no protein. It's just sugar. Everyone understands this, right? Yeah. Then why are we like this with God? I just want to read the one scripture. And I've never found it in the Bible. And they all fell down under the Spirit. That's what we all want. Everyone wants that feeling. And God's like, no, you need to be the person that stands there and does something. Because just falling under the power of the Holy Spirit Yes, as much as fun as it can be and as awesome as it is, it doesn't necessarily mean anything's going to change. Because there are people that sit in the church building, they sit at the back row, and God touches them powerfully, and he goes out that week and he does something in his will because he believes the word of God. And then there's other people that fall at the front and they roll around, and I'm not saying it's wrong, and nothing changes because all they wanted was a goosebump. Whereas the other person that maybe you right now, and this is what you've got to be, wanted something from God. I want a word from the Lord so that I can use it. One word from God and you run. I heard a story of a young man, I think he was about 16, his whole life sucked. Everything he ever did, he failed at. Absolutely everything. And one day he went to a palm reader. I'm not saying go to a palm reader, but he went to a palm reader and this person said to him, your life is blessed. Whatever you do, you can't fail at. You will be the best at whatever you set your hand to. And this is a story. And this guy went out and became one of the top businessmen in his country. And when asked, how did you do this? He said, I believe the word. He believed the word that was not from God, just from some palm reader. And he accomplished so much because he believed something someone said over him. Does this make sense?
Yeah.
Like, if that person who doesn't have, he's not believing God for anything, but he believes a word that was spoken to him by someone who's divining spirits, how much more so if we have access to the word of God and there's more than one word in here that says you are blessed. The power of God lives inside of you. If you have not accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, then he does not. And we will give you an opportunity afterwards to accept Jesus into your life. But if you have access to the power of God, if you have access to the throne room of God, why are we not using it? So we're going to turn to Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Is God speaking to anyone this morning?
Yes.
Because he's speaking to me while I'm standing here. I'm preaching myself happy if no one else is. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. I'm sure most of you have heard this before. It's called the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What were the things that Jesus commanded? Everything that's written in the Bible. He's saying, go teach people. That's why we're here this morning. That's why we have Bible school. That's why we read the Word. Because we want to know. Because he said, make disciples. How do you become a disciple of someone? You follow.
Yeah.
It's a following. It's a learning. How do you know someone is a disciple or a Christian? Because they reflect the Word. Not because they say they're a Christian, but because they reflect the word. If someone's like, man, I'm a black belt in karate, but they're as uncoordinated as possible, I don't believe them. I don't believe, they obviously are following the wrong teachings because they have no idea how what they say they're following works. So many Christians are saying, I'm a Christian, and then they come up with the most random of things I've ever heard of, and I'm like, that's definitely not in the Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
So are you actually a disciple? Or are you just someone who likes the name tag?
Yeah.
Do you like the name tag of Christian? Because Christians only the name did not come about by Christians. They said, we are followers of the way.
Yes.
They were saying the way, with a capital W, by the way.
Yeah.
Because they were saying the only way, and that is the truth. The only way to heaven is through the man Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Do we receive that? I believe it. So we are Christians, but I don't care about the name tag. I want people to see in my life that I carry the Spirit of the living God inside of me. Who else wants that? Who else wants the Spirit of the living God inside them? Who wants people to see that God is upon my life? God is working, not because I drive a Ferrari, but because I have something that is different. When people are in my presence, they're like, I want to be with this guy. This guy's full of joy. This guy brings peace. This guy makes me feel better about myself. If you are full of the Spirit, people should never leave your presence saying, man, that sucked. I feel worse. I feel worse than I've ever felt. I feel like dirt. Because if you're treating people like dirt, you are not following what God said. Jesus said, they will know you by your love for one another. Yet most Christians are shooting each other. The world watches Christians. Yep, that's a Christian. How do they know that? Because they're killing each other. That's completely ridiculous. It's stupid. Everyone, the first person to critique a sermon or a message is another Christian, saying how wrong that person is, or the wrong shoes that I was wearing this morning, or the socks that you can't see. Why is that the case? Because the devil knows the Bible.
Yeah.
And he's like, they will know by your love. Hmm? Let me change that around to hatred. He wants to cause hatred between Christians. Who here is going to love their brother in Christ? Who here is going to love their sister in Christ? Whether or not you like them. Because love and like are not the same thing. I love everybody. I don't necessarily like what they do. I don't like how someone behaves. I won't just be a doormat, but I will show them love, and I will show them grace, and Holy Spirit working through me, bearing fruit, that person's life will change. That person's life will change. If you walk on me like a doormat, I'll let you do it once, and then next time I'll speak to you. I won't smack you. I'll speak to you. I'll say, hang on a minute. This is not what you're supposed to do, particularly another Christian. If that person is nasty, I'll be like, okay. Second time I'll say, where does it say in the Bible you should treat me like this? Because if someone comes to me and says, you treated someone incorrectly, that's not in the Word of God, I then have to go and repent. I have to repent before God, and I have to go and apologize to that person. Don't think that you can just sit here on your knees and you don't have to go talk to the person who you were nasty to. You have to go and speak to that person, apologize to that person, say, the Lord spoke to me. Because sometimes we're like, God, why are you not hearing my prayer? And God's like, because you're disrespecting your brother. The Bible says to a husband, if your prayer is not being answered, sometimes it's because you're disrespecting your wife. So many people haven't read that one. I'll say it works the opposite direction too. If wives are not respecting their husbands and they're like, where's my prayer going right now? It's because you're not respecting the other person. We have to treat each other with love and respect. We're not perfect. I'm definitely not perfect. I won't say that I am. But I always aspire to be better through the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's what's great. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So in heaven and earth, then what is he saying? Go therefore. Because of that, because he has this authority, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If he had left it with go therefore make disciples of all the nations, you could say, that's pretty cool. He's got all authority in heaven and earth. But then the next verse he says, I am with you always. Have we got the scripture on the screen? Matthew 28, verse 20. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Who's read that? Who's reading that right now? Who receives that right now? Who believes that right now? He is with you. So when he says, go speak to someone, and you're like, no. He's like, but I'm with you. What does that person possibly have that you don't? Nothing. If someone full of witchcraft is standing in front of you, you have the power of God. It's not you that's facing that thing. It's the power of God that will come, and it's the love of God inside you that will cast that thing out of someone else. It's the power. It's not because I was perfect this week. It's not because I was holy this week. It's not because I fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Because I haven't achieved that one. And if I did, I wouldn't be going around telling everyone about it, because that's just boasting. And that's pride. Who's enjoying this morning? Who's enjoying this morning? All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Did he say all power or authority? Does everyone understand the difference between power and authority? Someone can have a lot of power, the strongest warrior in a kingdom, but zero authority. He does not tell the king what to do. The king tells him what to do. The devil can rock up, and I'm not saying the devil doesn't have power. There is power, but he has zero authority. Zero authority. Except for when you give it to him. When I curse my own life, there's authority. The devil's like, thank you very much. I will take that. And I will use it until you renounce that. If you go around, I'm a failure. I suck. I never do anything. Thank you, thank you, thank you. The devil's like, yes, I accept that right now. He's better than most Christians. I receive that today. I receive that today. He's watching you. He's like, I receive that curse word and I will take that authority you've given me in your life. Because at the beginning of the Bible, Adam was given all authority on earth. And when he sinned, he gave it to the devil. So Jesus is showing once he died and rose again. He didn't say this before he had died and rose again. He's saying it afterwards. Because he had to go to hell to get the keys back. He had to go there. In case people didn't understand, God had given Adam the key. God did not retain the key. He gave Adam the key. He said, you are to dominate the earth. You have dominion. Adam said, here, Satan, you can have the key. Wow. Jesus is like, no, I'm going to take that key back. But I have to pay the ultimate price, and I'm willing to do it in order to take people back, in order to save your soul. Where you're sitting right now, God has changed. He wants to save you. If you're not saved, if you are saved, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let it be so. I am saved by the blood of Jesus, by the power of God, and I operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. Who knows that the anointing breaks the yoke of bondage? The anointing oil breaks the yoke of bondage. So any bondage in your life, if you feel depression, if there's addiction, if there's bad mindsets, bad habits, they don't necessarily have to be sin. It doesn't have to be full-on sin in your life for it to be bondage. You might be bound in a habit that you're like, ah, that's not too bad. And God's like, no, that's actually hindering you. That's actually hindering you. David calls it hidden fault. So it can be sin, but you think it's not sin. It's a hidden fault. And we got to ask God to help us with those hidden faults and to keep us from the stupid, willful sins that we know are dumb. We all know certain things that we do. We're like, well, I want to do it today because I feel justified in swearing at that person or smashing his face in. No, there's no justification. No matter how angry you may be about a situation, there's no justification because God says vengeance is mine. So I hand that person over to the Lord. I say, Lord, you deal with him. And then I don't tell God how to do it. Because sometimes it's like, Lord, please go and break that person's arm. And God's like, hang on a minute. You need to get that right. Did anyone receive that? Did anyone hear that this morning? I've heard way too many people try and tell God how they want God to curse someone. And God's like, you still haven't got it yet, have you? You still haven't got it yet. So what is the difference between being clothed in power and having the Spirit inside of us? Because earlier in the scripture, Jesus said to the disciples, receive the Holy Spirit. But then he said, wait, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. When you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. But you do not have the power yet. When you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, which will not be on the screen. It will be. Okay, it is on the screen. Acts chapter 2. See, Rebecca's ahead of me there. Verse 1. Now, I love the New King James Version because of something that is there, added. When the day of Pentecost had what? Fully come. What does that mean? Fully come in its entirety. The day was there, fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. Where were they? In one place, and they were in one accord. That means there was unity. Peter was not premeditating murder on James while they were praying. He's like, I'm better than this guy. I really need a better anointing. God's like, no. They were all together in one place seeking the anointing, seeking the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, wait. So they were waiting. They were waiting together because they'd made a decision. We're all together in this place because Jesus did not say, go wait in your own homes and I will touch you individually. He said, go together and wait for me, for the Holy Spirit is coming.
Together.
Amen?
Yep.
When we are operating in unity, nothing can stop us. But when we are operating in division, everything will stop us. Nothing's going to work. If my left leg goes left and my right leg goes right, where am I going? Nowhere. I'll be ripped in half or I'll stand still. We cannot move unless we are united in a common goal and a common vision. The vision of this church, you know, the mandate, the mission, the vision, win the lost at any cost, mend the nets, the catch will be great. building one dynamic church in many locations. So if you come from this church, you go to another one of the CRC churches, you know it's a CRC church by the way it operates. Yep, yep. We want to win the lost at any cost. Yep. That means sacrificing things. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to sell my house and car and go live on the street, but it means I want to see lives changed. And so do you. That's why you're here this morning. We want to see that in our own lives. We want to see God move because God has moved in our own lives. Verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How many of them were filled?
All of them.
So how many again? All of them. We may only hear of Peter, James, John, and the other apostles, and we do actually hear of several of the people that are not mentioned here later on in the Bible, but all of them were filled. God doesn't pour out His Spirit on one person and not the other person if you're standing together in unity and you're there for a purpose. Why is it that we can stand in a service and someone can be touched differently? Because one person is believing in faith, another person is not. Yeah. When Holy Spirit is in the room, you have as much of God as you want. Does anyone understand that or not understand that? As much of God as I want, I can have. If I don't have enough of God, I come before the Lord, I say, Lord, I want more. Not because I want bigger goosebumps this time than last time, but because I want the power to see things change. Who here has prayed for someone and seen them been raised from the dead?
Yeah.
I haven't. So that means I want more of the power of God. But then that means I need to go around dead people.
Come on.
I cannot pray for a dead person if there's not a dead person there.
Yeah.
I can't say, Lord, I want to see eyeballs grow back, but I don't like being around someone who's got a glass eye.
Come on.
How the heck does that work?
Yeah.
As Christians, we're too often doing this. We're like, Lord, I want to be used by you. And God's like, stop getting out of the fire. Stop jumping out of the situation I put you in to change that person's life. There was a young man who was preaching on the streets, and he was speaking to this woman, and this guy came running out and he started cursing them. Well-dressed man in a suit, and he just turned, he said, you have a demon. The guy fell over, he finished what he was speaking, he cast the demon out of that guy and he walked off. Okay? 2 weeks later, he was just walking down the street. A woman came running out of the same building, and she said, what did you do to my boss? He was the meanest, nastiest piece of work you've ever met. And now he's the nicest guy in the world. He's the nicest boss. He gives me flowers. He speaks nicely to us. What did you do? I want that. And she accepted Jesus into her life that day. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working. This guy was preaching the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. And someone came running, little did he know, it was his divine appointment for God to move in his life. The demon came out, that guy gave his life to Christ. Someone else in the building came, not because the guy told him what Jesus had done, but because of the way he had changed his behavior. That's the power of the Holy Spirit working through one onto someone else and then bearing fruit in that person's life, and someone else gets saved as well. I cannot say that I'm full of the Spirit if people around me always leave depressed. Always leave like, oh man, that was another one of those weak messages from the pulpit. You know, if I'm standing at the pulpit, I'm not speaking and have the power of God flowing through me and it's a fleshly sermon, that's useless.
Yeah.
There's no power. Because no one here, at least I never do, I don't come to church just to hear a man preach. I come here to encounter God's presence. I come here to hear the word of God preached and to have the power of God shift my life so that this week I can see a greater shift in people around me.
Amen.
Because when we finish this today, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit. We're going to pray for more. Because the Bible says be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Not drunk with wine. A filling of the Holy Spirit is a daily thing. Doesn't mean you have to sit on your face for 8 hours a day unless God is calling you to do something like that. I'm not going to say don't do it. We want an infilling of the Holy Spirit every single day because who knows that oil gets old. Oil gets old. And when old oil is burnt, it's not as clear. There's a strange smell. It's called strange fire. I don't want old anointing. Because if I operate from old anointing, eventually it runs out because it means I'm not getting a new flow.
Yeah.
And then I'm one of the foolish versions in the Bible who will not be entering the kingdom. Because what happens if you live today and you're full of the Holy Spirit and you decide I'm going to last on this anointing for the next 6 months? A few months from now, because you're not going to church and you're not pushing into the presence of God and not praying all the time, you suddenly decide God's not real because he's not moving in your life anymore. You're not seeing the power of the Holy Spirit anymore because you stopped coming to the source. We can attend church every single week and stop coming to the source because it is God and my faith in him that provides me with the power. It is not someone else's faith for me. My mom and dad will not answer to God in heaven for my mistakes. They will answer for what they taught me. They will answer for how they live their lives. And so will we. If we are teaching, like I'm speaking now, I will receive judgment from heaven for that. And God will say, you spoke this, you did it in line, or you did not. But it is your life and it is your choice as to whether or not you place faith in God every single day. So we're going to press in for the Holy Spirit. So I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20 to start wrapping this up. Bring it in for a landing. 1 Corinthians 4:20. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. Now in this book they were saying, I am great, I am awesome, I'm doing this work, I'm doing that for God. And Paul writes and he says, okay, here's the important thing. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Verse 21. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and a spirit of gentleness? They were all boasting. They were boasting how great they were. And he says, when I come, you're not going to tell me how great you are. You're going to show me. You're going to show me the power of God working through you. Because who knows, when the power of God is working through someone, you can see it. You can see it. You can feel it. I know because I've been around people like that. I've been around Christians who tell me how great they are and I felt nothing from them. I've seen nothing in them. When they're operating, and I'm like, what was that? What was that? And then I'm around other people and I'm like, wow, there's something different about this person. This person speaks, it's on point. This person speaks to me and it's like they're reading my mail. This person speaks to someone on the street and that person bursts into tears and all they said was, Jesus loves you. And you're like, what is that? That's the power of God. That's someone that's in tune with the Spirit. That's someone that has faith. Someone that is regularly going and pressing in and saying, Lord, I need more of your Spirit because I need more of God's Spirit. Who cares if I can speak eloquently if I don't have the power of God inside me? There's a lot of people that are good speakers. There's a lot of people that are very good with a microphone. But I don't care if you're good with a microphone. All I care about is what power do you contain? What power do you have? Because there's no place more boring than being in church where the Spirit of the Lord is not.
Yeah.
And there's no greater place than being in church when God is moving.
Yeah.
When God is moving in a church, I want to be there.
Yeah.
I want to be there. Because I know sometimes we do want a goosebump, and that's not a bad thing. Because I want God to move in my life. But then once I've had my goosebump, what am I going to do with it? I'm going to introduce the next person to the power of God and say, okay, Paul says, I will not talk about anything God has not done in me. When I go speak to someone and say, God can heal you, and they're like, really? Have you seen it? I'll say, yes, I have. In my own life, God has healed me of things. God has given me peace and joy when I wanted to sit in depression. Holy Spirit comes alongside and says, that's not an option.
Yeah.
Because you can't sit there, read the Word of God and pray every day and stay depressed. Because you're not reading the Bible then. Maybe you're reading the Quran or something, but you're not reading the Bible. If you're reading another book and you're staying depressed, that's fine, but you cannot read the Bible and stay depressed. And you're like, how is that? Because if you are pressing in and saying, Lord, please speak to me today.
Yeah.
Fill me with your Spirit. Speak to me from your Word. The joy of the Lord, the power of God will come. But if you're not doing that and you're just reading the Bible because it's a good storybook or something, the Bible says the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. If you do not have the Spirit inside you operating while you read, you will receive nothing because you're not reading it with faith. If you're reading the Bible with faith, you can't stay in that position. You can't stay bound with an addiction if you're going to press into God, because God's not going to allow it. God's not going to allow it. God's going to come alongside. He's going to say, okay, I'm going to give you the strength. I'm going to help you, but you have to fight your way out of this. But you're not fighting from a position of, I need to get free. You're fighting from, I am free. Get out of my life.
Yeah.
Get out, unbelief. Get out. You're not in my life. The Bible says, see to it that you remove the evil heart of unbelief. It is your job. It is your job to remove unbelief from your own life. We pray, Lord, help us with our unbelief. Yes, that's how you remove it. I choose to ignore what I think, what I'm feeling. And I choose to go, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I believe that when we pray this morning, your power is going to touch my life. When I leave this building, when I walk out of this building, that business opportunity I've been praying for, God's going to open that door. You got to, come on, you got to receive that this morning. You got to say, that's what I'm believing when I leave this place.
Yeah.
I walked in here struggling with a bad habit. I'm going to walk out of here with the power to overcome.
Amen.
Because it is not I that has got the power. It is the power of God inside of me that says, I can do this. For I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So we're going to read Colossians 4, verse 12 to 13. That's our last scripture. And we're going to read it together. Or at least I will turn and look at the screen and read it. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in
prayers.
Very important. That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. What was he praying for? He was praying that that his people would stand in the will of God. That's how you stand perfect, if you're standing in the will of God. But what, this is Paul writing about someone else. He says, this guy labors abundantly. Now, this is Paul who says, I pray in tongues more than anyone. And he says, this guy here, he labors for you and he labors abundantly. You cannot tell me that he wasn't praying, that he wasn't reading the word, that he wasn't sacrificing his time to pray for someone else. Too often we go and pray for 3 hours and it's all me, 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 me. But this guy, who has a testimony in the Bible, he's there for two verses. He prayed fervently for other people. But his testimony is forever written in the Bible that this is a guy that sacrificed. This is a guy who knew how to pray. This is a guy who prayed. And because of that, even Paul recognized there's an impact in your lives because of what this guy is doing. So let's stand to our feet this morning. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And then I'll pray for anyone that wants an infilling of the Holy Spirit at the front here. But I want you to press in for yourself as well, because Peter was not laying hands on the other people in the room when the Spirit came. They all received the Holy Spirit because they all had faith in God. It's not the person, it's God. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, so let's press in right now. Lord, we welcome you in this place. Holy Spirit, we want you to move in this place this morning. We come and we press in, Lord God. We ask you. Lord, I ask you that every person in this place right now, that you would fill them with your Holy Spirit. As they reach out to you, Lord, I thank you for fresh fire. I thank you for fresh faith upon each person in this place this morning. I thank you, Lord, that your word has gone out, that it's good seed in good soil. I thank you, Lord, right now that there's no heart here that is fallow ground, that it is broken up in Jesus' name, that they receive the word and they run with it. I thank you, Lord, that you are moving right now. Oh, come move, Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord God, we pray. This room, you've drifted from God and you want to come back to God. If that is you, I ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you. I want you to step forwards, come to the front, stand at the front. you're going to say after me, lay, put your hand on your heart. Lord, I come before you. I confess I have drifted from you. I ask you to forgive my sins, to come back into my life, to fill me with power and the ability to operate in your presence. Amen. Now that you have done that, God sees from heaven, you are forgiven. So we rebuke the spirit of condemnation. For it is written in Romans 8 verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who believe and are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that flesh is not the one that you're thinking. It is operating under the law and religion.
Yeah.
You are not under the law and religion. You are under the power and the Spirit of God. You have the Bible, but it's not the law. So right now, I want you guys to operate in that. You've prayed, God's moving, God's moved, you're forgiven. God does not look and see sin, he looks and sees Jesus. Because you asked his blood upon you. I plead the blood of the Lamb right now upon these two young men. And I thank you, God, that you are moving in them, that you cover them, that you saturate them with your power in Jesus' name. And now, who here wants more fire?
Yeah.
Raise your hands. Lord, I pray right now for every person who's got a willing heart, whose hands are raised, that you would fill them with fire this morning. I release the Holy Spirit in a greater measure. We pray for a greater measure in this place this morning upon every person, that as they go throughout the week, they will operate in the power of the Holy Spirit. They will have the fire. Lord Jesus, it is written of you in the Word that you come to baptize in the Spirit and with fire. So I ask you would baptize in the Spirit and with fire this morning. You would baptize every person in this place. They would be fully immersed, not just dipping the pinky toe, but that every part of them would be full of your Spirit. That when the devil comes knocking, they say, Jesus has the key, so I'm not bothering with answering the door. I don't care whether you are trying to knock on my door or break down my wall, because Jesus is the owner of my house. Jesus owns my house. I thank you, God, right now that every person gives you permission. You guys have to give God permission to operate through you, to have the key to your heart and the key to your door. Holy Spirit is set as a seal upon your heart. Now, I want everyone to turn and face the chairs. I want you to look, because now we're all believers in this place. And I can feel that the Holy Spirit is moving. I know Holy Spirit is moving in this place this morning. But it's time to put that power and that faith into action. We're going to speak these chairs full with people that are hungry for God. And with a greater measure of the Holy Spirit. Because what's the point if we're full of the Holy Spirit but no one else is coming to experience that? Amen? So let's declare. Come on, start praying. You've got 3 minutes. We're going to pray for 3 minutes. And we're going to declare over these chairs the power of God. We're going to pray for the power of God to fill this building. That when people walk in this place, they can't help but stay. Because they experience the power of God, not something a man gave them, but something Jesus is doing in their life. Lord, we thank you right now. We declare these chairs filled. We speak these chairs filled in Jesus' name. We speak the Holy Spirit upon them. We pray, Holy Spirit, would you move in this place? Would you move on these chairs this morning? We thank you that as we pray, these prayers are not something that expire. There is no expiry date on these. We thank you, Lord, that this place will be filled. We will be filled. It will be full of people that are hungry for you. This building will be too small at a rapid rate, filled with people that are hungry for the presence of God, filled with people that are hungry for seeing you move in this area in Rockingham. Oh, we thank you right now, God, that Rockingham will be saved, that Rockingham will be delivered, that Rockingham will be set free. And we and the other churches in this region are believing for a move of the Holy Spirit right now. Oh, Lord God, we thank you. Come on, let's pray. Come on, let's pray. Yes, Lord, we thank you right now. We thank you, Lord God, that you are moving in power. We thank you, Lord God, these chairs are filled in Jesus' name. Come on. Activate that faith we were speaking about. Activate that faith. Get rid of that unbelief. If you feel called to go stand in a row, go stand there. We're not going to finish until we feel that thing break. Something has to break. And it's only going to break by the power of God and the faith that you are about to employ. Come on. We've got to employ it. We want to see this place filled. If you don't want to see this place filled, get on your knees and ask God to show you. Get on your knees and repent. because you want to see this place filled with people. Because if there's an empty seat, that is someone that is on their way to hell. That is someone that does not know Jesus, and you know Jesus. So come on, let's believe, Christian. Let's believe. God, we thank you right now that you will move in this place. I pray for every person. You fill them with faith. We employ our faith right now that you will move, that these rows will be filled, that these rows will be filled in Jesus' name, that these rows will be filled with people who have not given their life and will give their life and will go out and win the rest of their world, will go out and bring you to their world, because the world is not going to walk into the church building. The church building is going to bring the people in. Oh, Rasululu Shira Mababa Sande di Shinde di Andaramabara Sura. Here he comes. God is moving now. Who feels that? God has broken something. Something's broken in this place this morning. Something's broken in this place this morning. Come on, let's praise God. Lord, we thank you that it's broken. Yes, we praise you. We thank you, God. We will see souls saved. We will see lives changed. We will see deliverance in this place.
Yes, Lord.
And everybody said?